love to just welcome everyone, especially on such a momentous occasion, to learn about how to host online meetings, not out of choice, but necessity for some of us, to tonight's training, how to host online Zoom meetings, and really welcome you to this week's Citizens Climate University, a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight, in this time of social distancing, online web conferencing has become an essential part of our toolkit as climate organizers. Chief among all of these options is the software we're going to review tonight called Zoom, which in the last couple of weeks, for those that are fans already, isn't a surprise that it soared to the very top of the download charts for Apple and Google. Zoom is similar to Skype and FaceTime and other platforms that you might be used to, and it's used for video conferencing, and it also happens to be free. And so tonight we're going to be providing you with information on how to use it to facilitate more effective online meetings. And to get us there, we're going to have a wonderful co-host joining me tonight. Before I introduce Ellie, I'd love to also just give special thanks to all the people that have helped me put this together. If you scroll through all the participants tonight, you can see a lot of effective Zoom practitioners. And in particular, I want to shout out Mike Kern out of Wisconsin and Sabrina Fu, our Mid-Atlantic Regional Coordinator, for all their help and input in framing tonight's training from the field. And with that, let me introduce Ellie, and then I'll go over our agenda and pass it to her. Ellie is CCL's Director of Field Development. She's committed to the success of CCL volunteers working to start new chapters in communities across the United States. She hosts our weekly introductory call, our informational session, and trains volunteers around the world to lead climate advocate training workshops. She also works closely with our volunteers in coal and agricultural communities, ensuring that all voices find a place at the solutions table, a passion founded on her own family roots in Appalachia and rural Maryland. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Ellie.
And our agenda tonight is very straightforward. We're going to set you up for success. Ellie's going to have the first section really walking you through some basic considerations on facilitation tips and how to get started in getting to know online virtual meetings. I'm then going to have a practice session where we'll get to practice and walk through some of the basic steps in hosting your very first Zoom meeting and getting familiar with the controls. I'll also show where you can get technical support and remind you after tonight the next places where you can find more help and make sure that Zoom can address some of your questions. And then Ellie's going to put this all together and walk through some additional suggestions for engagement and walk through even an activity that we'll practice tonight for getting you ready for your meetings. And with that, I'll pass it to you, Ellie.
Thank you, Brett, and welcome everyone. Much like CCL members were doing 10 or 12 years ago, we find ourselves inventing and innovating again today. So a decade ago, we were figuring out how to meet with Congress, what to write in a letter to the editor, how to talk to friends and family about a difficult subject. We were solidifying our values and hammering out our legislative proposal. Today, we are sorting out how to manage ourselves during a pandemic and a financial crisis. We are balancing self-care, family care, community care, and solving the climate crisis. We've already heard from chapters in Florida, Vermont, Maryland, Hawaii, and others. Chapters are already moving their monthly meetings to Zoom. When congressional offices called many of our chapters to cancel because of COVID-19, their spring lobby meeting, our volunteers offered to host video conference meetings. And the congressional offices are accepting those invitations. CCL regions and chapters have started hosting Zoom check-in calls so volunteers can gather for emotional support and sort out our next steps. So once again, as always, CCL volunteers are taking the bull by the horn. Now, CCL volunteers won't settle for empty boardrooms of social isolation. No way, you say, no thank you. On the call tonight, all of you with us are ready to bring your CCL activities to Zoom. Look at all those people. Now, regardless of how the pandemic pans out, Becoming proficient on Zoom will also help you hold chapter meetings and committee meetings with greater flexibility. You'll be able to connect with new volunteers and reconnect with old ones. And you will reduce your carbon footprint. But then I probably didn't need to remind you of that with this group. Now, if you want to host the perfect Zoom meeting, you can forget it. Even Brett and I, who very nearly live full-time on Zoom, encounter hiccups and bumps in the road. Be yourself and don't worry too much about those bumps and burps. Focus on engaging people and empowering them to take action. So Brett's going to offer some links to Zoom trainings that Zoom offers. Look for that in the chat. If you haven't yet engaged in a chat, this is your chance to do that. Find the chat. Click on those links if you'd like to now. Let them pop up on your screen, but come quickly back to our call. Just use those as placeholders or copy and paste them in some way. Set them aside for yourself so you can refer to them later. Now, in addition, the middle half of our call tonight is going to be Brett covering some basic technical training on Zoom. And I know you've joined the call for those tips in particular. But before I turn you over to Brett for that, let's consider the bigger purpose for a meeting, passing the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. Now, when I first joined CCL a decade ago, I remember Mark Reynolds saying, "We're betting the ranch on relationships." And we consistently learn that relationships is the key ingredient to the success of any change movement. People connect to people. And from those bonds, we go on to make big changes in the world. I also remember thinking when I first got involved, action is the antidote to despair. And with CCL, I was finally taking action. And my despair dissipated and dissolved each time I took another action. And it melted beyond recognition each time I took an action that stretched me outside of my comfort zone. I also learned a long time ago that if I don't get what I want the first time I ask, I can ask again and again and again. I can find creative ways to ask and new ways to ask each time. This holds true when we're reaching out to potential volunteers. It also holds true when we engage with our members of Congress, asking them to sponsor our bill or join the caucus or even saying yes to it, one of those secondary asks for us. So Zoom is going to be one more way, a different way that you get to approach your member of Congress. Now, in light of the fact that we hold in highest regard our relationships with each other, I invite you to include time in your meeting for members to share their experiences with the physical isolation we are all engaged in right now. It may be that members share that they need help with some basic needs. You might be aware of community resources to which you could direct them. Other members in the chapter might offer support. We want you to trust your gut and follow your heart on this. I share that even on the information session last night, you know, Sarah, Juanis, and I lead that. We have a half an hour for Q&A. And when I opened it up for questions, people were very quiet. And so I said, well, how about if anybody wants to make a comment about the coronavirus and flattening the curve? And that's when the conversation picked up and people tied it into their concerns with climate and how they might volunteer. So even on the information call, this is an important topic to hold space for. Now, you may be using Zoom for a variety of meetings. Please allow the technology to support your objectives. If you want to move a member of Congress forward, you could include a local respected leader who endorses our bill on a Zoom call. And it would be easier for that local leader to hop on Zoom rather than trekking to DC, and certainly easier now if they've got some wiggle room in their schedule. If you want to take action on monthly action items, you can use Zoom's breakout rooms to allow your group members to drill down into actionable steps in small groups. If you want folks to connect and support each other, you can divide people into pairs or groups of three and invite them to share maybe a saver activity they've done today or what challenges they face. Brett's going to share some of our favorite Zoom tools for supporting meeting objectives. Now, we have to admit, change is difficult, but I can sense your excitement and eagerness to learn and evolve and change. We want to help each other adjust to Zoom. Some of us are more experts than others. In fact, you can even ask your group members to give you some feedback, invite them to share. Be willing to be vulnerable. We just aren't perfect, and people can give us some insight. Let them know that you're new to running a Zoom call, and if they offer to help, accept it. Now, personally, I really like it when someone else is running the technical part of the Zoom call. Now, if you remember attending the information session with me and Sarah Wannis, you will notice that she hops on 5 minutes early at the top, just before the top of the hour, and she welcomes anybody who shows up early. She talks with them. She asks them how they found out about us. Where do they live? Just a lovely little conversation that she has while people are joining. She's like a hostess who greets you at the front door of the party. Now, then when we get to doing the call together, we take turns. It's not so boring when two of us are talking back and forth. She also is the one who types notes in the chat and reads what people type in the Q&A. And she shares those notes with the whole group when that feels appropriate. And then she also records the call and gets that to the right folks when necessary. So I would invite you to think a little bit about pulling together a Zoom host team and divide up those tasks so you as a group leader aren't trying to convey information and engage people and also manage the chat and get there early. Just think about, again, a team effort. Now, we've got you covered on meeting agendas. Remember monthly meetings? CCL provides a suggested agenda to group leaders in the monthly action sheet. For meetings with members of Congress, you know full well that we've got a model meeting outline, and we trust you to modify that with your own member of Congress with your goals in mind. For committee meetings focused on the five levers, you might aim for accomplishing a monthly action item that's related to a lever. And for fellowship meetings, you can simply facilitate sharing, maybe sharing challenges or savoring moments or some fun, turn on the music and get everyone up and dancing. We're all sitting and we're holding in so much with our bodies. I invite you to let people move a little bit. And we want to spread the fun around. Engage others in your agenda item. Sarah and me lead the information session. Brett and I are leading this tonight. Bring others in to lead the agenda with you. It's fun for you, it gives you a break, and it's easier for folks listening to have a little mixing around there. Also, enjoy the visual aspect of Zoom. Here we see Brett's lovely PowerPoint, well, actually a Google presentation that we're using tonight. Big font, bullet points. Put your agenda up on that. Let it flow through the meeting rather than using like a Word document with tiny words that you might pop up there. And Brett's going to show us about how to use the share screen option so you can have your slide deck be something that everyone can see. So I'm going to turn it over to Brett for those more technical details. So Brett, over to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Ellie, for that wonderful overview to really get us set up and having a successful meeting on Zoom. And let's transition, you know, having planned and prepared for our meetings online, what do we really need to know about Zoom to conduct these meetings effectively? So this next section is really going to cover the technical topics and to be able to cover the Zoom basics so that you know how to jump in and really be able to route your volunteers to Zoom for support.
The first step is just joining a Zoom meeting, right? If you're going to set it up, you got to help people find where it's at. You've already checked this box by making it to the training tonight, and there's a lot of support out there for your other members in the chapter to find out more if they are also needing help in knowing how to join Zoom. All right, so basically, all you need to join Zoom via audio and video is a laptop or computer with a webcam or a smartphone or tablet with a built-in camera, which is pretty much every model nowadays. To begin, you can go to the Zoom website, zoom.us, or you can download the app that's featured right here on this slide. It's just zoom.us/download, and then you would download the client for your meetings to join on your computer. You can also use the app on Apple Store or on Android to be able to download that. Just look for Zoom in your search bar if you want to join by your smartphone. And from there, you would just register your account. You don't even have to have an account. You can basically just join a link that other people have provided for those that aren't going to be hosting their own meetings or having their own line. And there's three different ways that you really can interact here. So first of which, your regional or state coordinator is going to highlight this Zoom line that basically is a URL. And for example, this webinar is being hosted under our Citizens Climate Lobby CCU line 2017-2017-17. You can also call in. This is a Zoom number, 1-408-638-0968, and then enter your meeting's code. That meeting ID code, again, is just 2017-2017-17 for this one. Or if you are on your app, whether it's on your computer or your phone, you would then just click to join a meeting, and then you'd enter the meeting ID, your name, and then click join. So any of those three areas, you'll be able to find the specific ID to enter in place of this one, since this is unique for our line. For your own local line, work with your state coordinator to get that. But let's talk through and actually run through some basic Zoom controls tonight. We really want to help everyone get practice doing the following so that you, when you have a chance and it comes time to you leading your call, have already figured these out. So this black banner on the bottom is the toolbar that Zoom hosts will see. And what we've done is divide up the functions that we can practice tonight together as attendees on the left side. We're going to practice muting and unmuting ourselves and other users. We're going to practice turning our videos on and off and renaming our users. We're going to have a chance to practice monitoring the chat and practicing that. And we'll have a chance then on this right-hand side to show you some things that you won't have access to doing tonight on the training, but when you get set up with your state regional Zoom line, you'll be able to claim host. You'll be able to practice sharing a screen. One of the best features I'd say that Zoom offers, you'll be able to practice starting breakout rooms and ending the meeting. So let's practice audio first and foremost. On the black toolbar, if you are joining with your phone or computer, you'll see often on the very far left of that bar, there's a little icon that says mute or unmute, depending on whether you're already muted or unmuted. If you are unmuted and you want to mute, you would click on it, and then it turns this microphone icon with a red dash on, and that means that you are now muted. You cannot have your audio heard. If you want to unmute, you'd click on it, and it'll show back again as unmuted, and that way you know that your voice is responding, and you'll see actually a little green filler in that mute bar that shows basically the level of your audio. So a couple of other ways that you can join audio, not only just with your built-in microphone for your computer or phone. If you click next to that little icon of the microphone, or if you haven't joined yet, either way you'll see an up arrow. And from there it allows you to basically do a switch for your microphone or your speaker, so input and output. You can also set up a test. This is something I heavily recommend before you host your first meeting. It allows you to hear what you sound like and also switch to phone audio or even leave audio as well. And you can also adjust additional audio settings here, but for the modern lay person, I'm guessing that your inbuilt system microphone is going to work just fine. I'll also highlight this
it's really key if you notice that you're getting feedback on your test, on your audio test, that there's either a really big echo sound or some other kind of feedback going on, try putting on headphones and testing out if that reduces the feedback. Now, you want to make sure to test to see how your sound quality is with headphones, because sometimes the microphone headphones aren't as ideal as other speaker setups without them. But again, you do that by clicking on the little up arrow next to the mute icon or the join audio icon on the bottom left of your toolbar, and then click on this test speaker and microphone. All right, so the other thing I wanted to highlight with audio is that you as host will have the chance to really control how other people are experiencing their audio. At any point in your meeting, if things are getting out of hand, you can always click on Manage Participants, another one of the options on your toolbar, and then there'll be at the bottom of that list of who's on your line participating, a little series of icons that we've blown up here. You can click Mute All, and that will eliminate all lines having their unmuted except for yours. You'll still be able to be heard. You can unmute all, and that gives people permission to basically talk, and everyone can talk over each other if you want to have the call wrap up that way. And you can also click on this more drop-down arrow, and that will allow you a couple of other options. You can basically see how to mute people on entry. This is a default setting if you'd want to turn that on or off. You can allow participants to unmute themselves. If you uncheck this, that means that if they're muted, they're stuck being muted. You can help people identify when they show up by having a chime show up when they enter or when they leave. You can also allow people to rename themselves this way. This is kind of a hard place to find it, but again, you'd click on Manage Participants, and then on the bottom of that list, click More, drop down arrow, and this is where you allow people to rename themselves. We'll get into that in just a little bit. You can also lock the meeting this way, and that means that anyone that isn't on the line won't be able to join. Only people in are currently in. You kind of lifted up the drawbridge around your moat. All right, so let's talk about video next. So video is often the same way as muting. You can basically turn it off and toggle it back on by clicking on that little camera icon. And if it's with this red bar, it means that you are currently without video. To turn it on, you'd click on it, and then it'll look like this and mean that you are currently streaming your video. And to stop it, you'd click it again, and it'll go back with that red bar. A couple other features that you can set up with video: you can click the up arrow next to that icon and choose not only your camera source, if you've got multiple ones to juggle from, but you can also talk about virtual backgrounds this way. And I'll go over that a bit more in depth later. And you all have also have the chance to change your video settings here. We won't go into that tonight, but those are available for you to select if you're having any video troubleshooting questions. We briefly mentioned renaming users. And again, if somebody logs in, let's say, and their name is iPad, or their phone number is there but not their name, and you're wanting to help remember who's calling in from what number, you can click on Manage Participants. And then in that list of names, you'll be able on any one of them as the host to, on the right-hand side of their name list, click on this rename button. And that will then show a new dialog box that allows you to enter a new updated name for that individual. Just delete whatever's there if you want to rename it, and then type in a new one, click this rename, and boom, they'll have the new name show up here. It's a really easy way for you to help identify people if they're having a hard time doing it themselves and remember whose name is who as you get going. You can also have certain standards in your naming if you want to have preferred pronouns, if you want to have cities, titles, locations, and have people add those to them. You can help them and show them how to rename to update that way. Monitoring chat. This is another great area to explore. So Zoom allows a really ambitious chat feature, and to find it, you can click on the chat icon. So if you don't see it immediately, just click on the More button, and then that will drop down a menu where you can click chat directly, and then you'll see a new dialog box. It might be part of your screen, it might be a different window, and from there you can see the chat going on. Chat's super straightforward to participate. In the very bottom, you have the chance to type your message. Just click on it and start typing away. And you can see the log of all the other prior chats going on before that by in this box scrolling upwards. Now, the other cool feature about chat is that you can actually privately chat people. It's not just for everyone to everyone. You can actually have a private conversation with just a one-on-one during your meeting with someone if you want to check in or let them know that their sound quality is cutting out, or you know, have a secret dialogue about other plans that you don't want to bother everyone else to see. So click to get there. Basically, on the to field, there's a little blue icon that says to everyone. You click on it, and all of a sudden, a drop-down menu shows up with all of the participants that you can select. So if I just want to chat to CCL Training, I'd click actually on CCL Training here, and then it'll show up in my little chat that I can then basically type a message privately to CCL Training. I'd type it, and then I'd click send, and you can confirm that this is only visible to CCL Training or whoever you pick by having this little privately read parentheses show up, and that indicates that only they're seeing that, and it can be a back and forth. If you ever want to go back to chatting everyone, make sure to go back and in the to field select everyone, or you can even just click everyone here, and that will pre-populate the to field to whatever you click and keep typing away. Great options for chat. The other thing is host that you can do with chat is choose how other participants participate in chat. Right now, the default setting is going to be that everyone has the chance to publicly and privately chat. But if you want to narrow that down a little bit more, here's the options that you can click on. If you see this little triple dot button, you have the ability to do that, as well as save the chat as a text file. All right, so let's talk about a couple other areas that we won't be able to go into tonight in terms of practicing. We've been able to practice each of these as we've gone through here. Now, not everyone can claim host all at once, but when you are logging into your meeting, this is the easiest way for you to be able to basically, regardless of who you've logged in as, claim host for that meeting ID. And so to get there, click on the participants icon in your toolbar. And from there, you'll see at the very bottom of the list, not only a mute me icon if you are not the host, you'll also see a button that says claim host. So you click that, and from there, it gives you a dialog box to enter a 6 to 10 digit number. Most of ours are 6 digits to basically claim host. And that means that you will then, if you successfully enter that key, be granted host status. So enter that host key right there, and your state or regional coordinator will give you that number. It's only, you know, available for group leaders. We don't want to give that to everyone so they can jump in. But type it in, click log to claim and host. And how you know that you are now host is you'll see a whole bunch of expanded options on your toolbar. But in this participants view, you'll also have the host title added in parentheses to your name in that participants view. So again, that's host key. And to find your line's host key, if you don't already have your own line, work with your state or regional coordinator. Now, sharing screen, I would say, is really the smooth feature that put Zoom on the map and really helped it outperform a lot of its other competitors on the market. To get there, you will be able to see a green share icon on your black toolbar. If you click that, basically from there, you have the choice to figure out what you want to share with your group on the meeting. Now, you can select a specific window application. That's what I've done here. I'm selecting Google Chrome, and then I'm going to click share at the bottom. And now, all of a sudden, I will live cast my whole screen to everyone like we're doing on this training. You could also pick any of your other Oakland applications or even your desktop. The reason why I don't default to desktop is that it's a little messier. And if you're concerned about privacy, people will be able to see anything behind your application if it isn't full screen. They'll also, perhaps on a Mac, be able to see your bottom loading dock with all those different icons for your applications. It's just a little less streamlined, so I always recommend going right to whatever application, whether it's a PowerPoint, whether it's a website, click right on that window and then click share and you should be good. The other thing to know, if you are interested in sharing something with sound,
or if you want to optimize with a full screen clip. So if you click on either share computer sound or optimize for full screen video clip on the bottom, that will help you share the sound or optimize your video so that it's smoother. So that it's smoother as you go through and share that video. The other thing that I really wanted to highlight, in case you as a host have heard this cropping up with Zoom meetings, you have the chance, if you click on this little up arrow next to the share icon, to control a lot of more advanced sharing options. So right now, this is set up so that, you know, your default setting, only one person can share at a time, and if you click advanced sharing options, you can basically guarantee that if you as host are sharing, no one else can take over and claim that share screen from you. And to have that setting and make sure that it's enabled that way, make sure that only host is checked here. Again, I clicked on this little up arrow next to share. I clicked on advanced sharing options. And then these are the settings that I can toggle back and forth how I want to set up my meeting for sharing. So, breakout rooms. This is, I would say, the best feature that really is going to put your meeting on the map and help you not only facilitate a large group discussion, but a small group one. And I know Ellie is going to get into the nitty-gritty of how this looks like for a CCL meeting in a little bit. But the technical background of it is on your black toolbar, you'll see a little icon as host that says breakout rooms. Now, if you're not host, you won't see this. But if you are host, click on it. And then it prompts you to basically decide how you want to assign participants into these rooms. Breakout rooms essentially allow you to have many smaller group discussions simultaneously on the same Zoom line and basically then bring everyone back again folded into the main group meeting. So let's say that you had 20 people in your meeting and you wanted to have a pair activity. So what you do then is you could automatically have this highlighted and then type in 10 rooms. And what will happen is that Zoom will then do the math and say, well, 20 people, 10 rooms, there'll be two participants per room, click breakout room. And then that will open up another dialog box in just a little bit. I'll show you. You can also manually assign people to rooms and move them around. It's a little bit slower for those just getting started. I do recommend the automatic pairing. But either way, click Create Breakout Rooms then, and you'll see a new dialog box where you have the option of doing a couple of other additional things. You can rename your actual breakout rooms. You can delete rooms or add rooms. You can reassign people if you click on the right-hand side of their name. You should be able to see a little icon, and then you'll be able to move them to a different room listing. And you as host can also jump in and click on any one of the particular breakout rooms and then click join to participate as well. And then if you're in a breakout room and you want to move around, on the very bottom of that corner toolbar, you'll be able to see leave room. Or you could have this breakout rooms dialog box open and then just join a different room that allows you as host to float around and check in with people. In breakout rooms, people will be able to have their own small group discussion with just one or two people. And they'll also be able to raise their hand if they're having or needing help. And they'll be able to chat, but only with the people in that room. You can communicate with everyone in breakout rooms in the bottom left-hand corner. In the bottom left-hand corner, you'll be able to communicate with people by clicking on a little button that says send message. And from there, you can type in a little message and send a reminder, don't forget to switch, or 3 minutes left till we regroup. Whatever you want to say, that will show up as a little announcement at the top of everyone's screen in their breakout rooms. It's a great way. I can't underscore it enough how much this is going to really help you as group leaders effectively have interactive, effective meetings with small group breakouts and discussions. With small groups breakouts and discussions, especially if you want to have, you know, five lever meetings. So you have a lobby team, you have a community team that's doing outreach, you have a grass tops team, you name it. This really allows you to focus in and have more intimate dialogue. The last main feature that I also wanted to highlight was ending the meeting. So you as the group leader or the meeting host will be able to end the meeting at any point,
and you'll see a little icon that says end meeting in red in the bottom right. If you click on it, you have three options. If you're all thumbs and you didn't mean to click on it, you can always click cancel out, and that won't actually blow up the meeting. You can leave the meeting without it ending and having somebody else basically stay in control and facilitating, or, you know, having more of a discussion. Or you can choose to end meeting for all, and that basically will terminate the Zoom session immediately when you click it for all users. They'll all be logged out. All right, so some additional controls that I also did want to highlight. We have not sufficient time to cover all of them tonight, but as Ellie already mentioned, and as I'll highlight again after this, we are going to steer you towards the Zoom Support Center. They have a wonderful help center that has all sorts of tutorials for information on any one of these functionalities, that you can get training, that you can actually ask somebody in support, that you can see a live webinar on if you have more questions. So you can add somebody else as a co-host once you're logged in as host, and that is by clicking basically on the participants. And then next to an individual's name, you should see the More drop-down button show up. Click on that blue little down arrow and then assign them by having them named Make Co-host. You can also start a recording. If you are interested, it's either going to show up just as record, or it'll give you this option to record to the cloud or the computer. You will be able, if you want this captured for your meeting people that can't attend later on to view, or just for your own records, click record. The default should be recording to the cloud. If you want to download it to your computer, sometimes that setting is up, and then you can click on this. Either way, afterwards, if you don't have access to it, work with your regional or state coordinator, and they can send you the link that's available on the cloud for 30 days to have anyone else listen in. Reactions are another great way for you to be able to participate. If you are not a co-host or a host, you actually will see a raise hand. That's a great way on your screen under participants to be able to highlight if you have a question, or encourage people to be able to let them know if you let you know if they have a question. You can also at the bottom of that participant screen have them, you know, react a bunch of other ways. You can do a quick vote and have people show on their meeting screen a yes or a no, a thumbs up, a thumbs down. You can have them request, you know, if you want to go a little slower or speed up. All these symbols help and kind of increase people's engagement. As host, you would then look at your participant box, and then next to each other's names, you'll see these icons. I think you can only have one at a time, but that can help you then discern how people are voting or reacting to some of the questions you're posing that you want a quick pulse of the whole group on. Now, virtual backgrounds are another great feature that might not work well for your computer depending on how old it is, how strong its video card is, but to enable them and to even experiment to see if this is something that might work for you, you would go to video, and then on that icon next to it, there's an up arrow, click on that, and then click on choose a virtual background. You should see then from there some default images. If you want to look like you're in front of the backdrop of the Golden Gate Bridge or space, you would then just click on that little image and it should highlight behind you, and you'll be able to tell right away whether your computer is actually rendering your image, yourself, in front of that background effectively, or whether it's glitching out and you look like you're a ghost or you're fading in and out and it's really fuzzy. Yeah, so don't worry about virtual backgrounds if that isn't going to work for you. It isn't something that you can easily tweak if, for whatever reason, your computer's video card isn't sufficient to do this accurately. But to add a new image, if it is, just click on this little plus icon, and you can see I've had some fun ones that I've added that are then showing up as options for me as I am hosting a meeting. Polls are the last thing that I wanted to highlight as another feature. They offer a great way for you to engage individuals on your meeting. To set them up, click on poll, and then there should be a new little dialog box that opens from there that says edit on the very top. And then from there, you should see the chance to add a new poll question. And basically, you can enter the title. You can choose to make it anonymous. You can basically type your question and choose whether it's single or multiple choice. list the answers, and then basically it'll save and you can use it on your actual meeting. And then to access the results of a poll, you can see them live time. And basically, once you have a question set up, you would then click on polling. And then on the very bottom, there is a little icon that says launch poll. Click that. Everyone else sees a dialog box that shows up on their Zoom window. And then they'll be prompted with the questions that you've set up. And once you've collected all the responses you want, you can close the poll. And you can even choose to share the results with everyone or just see them yourself and take a little screenshot or a mental note of what people have shared. Great interactive activity. Now, say you're curious about other mobile functionality questions or other things to do with keyboard shortcuts. So you can basically go to Zoom's Help Center for those questions. It's through Zoom. You can see that listed right here, support.zoom.us. If you have any of these common questions, I can't get my camera to work, I'm getting feedback, you name it, check that out. They've got great questions there. And if for whatever reason that isn't addressing what you need, or you have more specific, questions that you'd like to have with the CCL angle, go to our technical support forum. You can see it's a super wonderful way that you can pose questions that have a technical angle and ask our own Geek Squad. We've got volunteers and staff members that are willing to monitor this and give feedback on questions that you might have on getting yourself up and running. It's simply able to be searched on Community for technical support, or you could go on to the top menu bar, click Connect with Others, click on the site-wide forums, and then click in Chapter Organizing. This short URL as well, cclusa.org/tech-support-forum, is available for you, and we'd love to help you out there. All right, so you might be curious about how do you actually get a Zoom line. So bottom line is you're welcome to use your own personal line if you've already got one. Zoom offers free personal lines, and you can basically sign up for a free account by going to zoom.us. Free lines will allow you the chance to hold a 40-minute meeting with up to 100 participants and an unlimited number of them, and you'll also have access to online support. Now, you can't record a call with a free meeting. It will abruptly end at 40 minutes if you have a free account only. And so given that, if you don't want to just have a free account and be limited to that structure, we have set up Zoom lines for the entire country, basically. We've created 40 new Zoom lines to support all of our chapters. And basically, each state has access to one. And so if you as a group leader would like to have access and, you know, book our Zoom line that gives you full access to recording and all these additional features, you know, not limited to a certain time period, reach out to your state coordinator to find out that login information. They'll be able to send you a link. They should also be able to have a setup where you can basically book your region's Zoom line to be able to really work through seeing a calendar and then seeing which times are available to sign up. And so we really encourage you to, if you don't want to have your own free account or you don't have a paid account, work with your state coordinator to get access to your new Zoom line. And you'll see that your state coordinator will soon have their own communication channel set up, most likely by next week, that will have a little calendar view where you can use an application like You Can Book Me, or they might have a different system, but most are probably going to use You Can Book Me. And from there, you would just sign up for a certain slot. Say you want to have your meeting reserved for, you know, 12 o'clock on Friday. Just click on that and you'll be able to secure your meeting with instructions. All right, with that, I'll pass it back to you, Ellie.
Awesome. All right. So if you've been around CCL for any length of time, you will know that we believe in practicing. So think about hopping on the Zoom line with your Zoom host team to practice running a meeting. Be sure to schedule your practice slot with your state or regional coordinator who is managing the shared Zoom line schedules. Now give yourself and your Zoom host team maybe 15 or 30 minutes. Use all of the bells and Zoom whistles you plan to use in your meeting. Adjust your lighting, share your screen, make someone else the co-host, Now, this is a good thing to do with your Zoom host team to let them all be co-hosts. You can test your audio, identify any problems with sound, and sort those out. Sound is a key ingredient to a successful Zoom call. Now, visual is the other key ingredient. So let's consider some tips. Front lighting, no lighting from the back, silhouettes. Direct view, Zoom has a tendency to shoot you up the nose there, so you don't want that. Adjust your laptop or set your phone at a nice angle. Now figure out where the camera is on your computer or phone and see if you can look it at that spot, that little spot, as much as you can while you're talking. When you focus on the camera, then people listening will have the experience that you are looking at them in the eyes. Of course, smile and consider your background. Avoid your bed with disheveled sheets. Don't set up in the kitchen where your spouse or partner and kids and dogs and pets are moving back and forth. I like to sit here in my bedroom, and right behind me is a set of curtains that hides my closet, and it just looks like a nice little curtainy backdrop. Before the meeting, get on the call early. Now, we've asked state coordinators to budget your calls to start from 10 minutes before the top of the hour through 10 minutes before the top of the next hour, for the next group would be coming in then at the 10 minutes before the next top of the hour. So that 10 minutes gives you time to get in and get settled with your Zoom host team. Then you would have the call start at the top of the hour. People would start to show up a little bit before. And you've got 50 minutes to run your meeting from the top of the hour before the next chapter is going to get on the Zoom line. Now, during these preparatory 10 minutes, do an audio test. Remember, sound is a key ingredient in your recipe for success. Get your visuals straight. Then, as usual, start and end your meeting on time. Now, I like to also establish how I'm going to encourage participation from the people on the call. And I usually mix things up. So I might say something like, "Who would like to share?" And this allows anyone to jump in when they feel inspired to do so. I might alternatively say, "Let's go around the room," so everyone can say what actions they want to take this month. "I will call on you as I see you on my screen." And I might give a little caveat there: all actions count. If you want to study a CCL training page or call other volunteers or reach out to the Rotary Clubs to see if they have transitioned to Zoom and offer a CCL speaker, really any action counts. I let people know. That way, when I'm calling on them one after another, they can feel bold or they can feel mild, and either way is fine. Then another idea for encouraging participation would be to invite people to put their ideas in the chat function. And then someone in the host Zoom host team could be taking notes, or you actually can save a chat, and that will go to a little file on your desktop. So anyway, all of those ideas allow people to participate in some way or another. Now, in the meeting, the secret seasonings for our CCL success sauce includes a delicate balance of 5 ingredients. We inform ourselves, we inspire each other and celebrate successes, we practice listening and speaking, and we take action. We have one other super secret ingredient. In fact, it is so secret and so essential that I didn't even write it on the slide. Have fun no matter what. Now, that might be the spirit we bring to the meeting with our leadership. That playfulness might come out when we find ourselves doing something that feels easy and delicious to do. Or it might even be a bit orchestrated, like an icebreaker to start the meeting, where everyone picks a vegetable to say and says it twice without showing your teeth. Or plays Simon Says with facial expressions, or you can invite people to dress in a costume or show off their pets or share a picture of themselves as a child. Now, breakout rooms can be a lovely way to add to any of these secret seasonings. In small groups that the breakout rooms afford, people get more done. more people engage themselves, and we build stronger relationships. So breakout rooms are easy to try, and we have an exercise that we'll do in this workshop. We'll do some breakout rooms, and what I'd like you to do is you can either share one thing you learned tonight that you didn't know before, or you can make a series of faces that your partner has to copy. All right, back from the breakout rooms. Ending the meeting. You want to include time to have a final around the horn on action steps, especially if it's a monthly meeting or a committee meeting, or even a meeting with a member of Congress, who's going to do what. It can also be that going around the room is a nice time to share your take-home nuggets, what inspired you about the call, what you learned that you're going to be chewing on. They might share the action they're going to take, or if it's a planning meeting with the committee, their specific action. It's always good at the end of the meeting to remind everyone of upcoming meetings and end the meeting on time. This is particularly important for the Zoom lines because other groups will be coming in at 10 minutes before the top of the hour. After the meeting, ideally, someone has taken notes during the meeting and they could make a short summary and send those out. You could possibly have made a recording and send that out as well. I would be a little discerning. I wouldn't necessarily send my recording out to everyone who's on my roster, but maybe the core people. So think about that. And I'm going to, one of the things that we like to do is inspire each other. And I want to read something that touches me and speaks to me about this moment that we are in. It's the part, it's the beginning paragraphs of the letter that Bob Inglis wrote to Marshall Saunders when Marshall was in hospice in December. And so Bob wrote, "Dear Marshall, I am so honored that you asked Mark to call me. I wish that Pam could show me to that back room in your house. I wish that I could greet you with a hug. I wish that we could cry together and laugh together. I wish that I could see that sparkle in your eyes and breathe in that gentle spirit of boundless optimism that surrounds you. I'd have in my hand the note that you wrote to me on June 24th, 2010, days after I had lost the Republican primary. On stationery from the Washington Court Hotel, you wrote, quote, if you want to give your best in any selfless service, choose the right goal, use the right means, and don't think about the results. Leave them to me, Lord Krishna." So Brett, I'll turn it over to you for the final wrap up there.
Thank you so much, Ellie. And obviously, thank all of you for joining us tonight. We can't thank you enough for joining us tonight. It is the most well-attended CCU I have ever run, with over 170 people on the line here tonight. It's such an honor to have all of you giving your time to join us to find out more about how you too can run effective Zoom meetings. We hope that you found tonight's training useful and empowering. And please reach out if you have questions. Here is the three different options that you have. You can reach out to me. My email is brett@citizensclimate.org. If you have a simple Zoom question that we've already gone through kind of the troubleshooting process with, I would encourage, rather than reaching out to me, going first to Zoom support, because I won't be able to keep up with a steady stream of emails if we've got 100 people every day asking me how to, you know, test my webcam or improve my sound quality. And to go there and also get in the practice of referring your own group volunteers to go there, it's just simply, you can memorize this website, support.zoom.us. And lastly, if you have any questions and you'd like to also weigh in on our forums on community, here's the short link to our technical support forum, where our own Geek Squad is going to be monitoring and helping support you get up to speed online with your successful Zoom hosting. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight. It's an honor to work together, and know that we will push back the tide and address climate change thanks to your advocacy.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ellie.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.